from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It is that exciting time of year, though, where John Morosi and all these guys start throwing out situations. Sources say, there's one that John just tweeted, the Mariners and Rays. This is great. Sources say that the Mariners and Rays have yet to engage in serious dialogue. About Seattle's interest in adding an impact bat, but the teams are frequent trading partners and talks could advance in the days ahead. Tampa Bay will listen on Arozarena, Yandy Diaz, or Paredes in the right deal.
Seattle's going, we've had a lot of success at the trade deadline with the Padres.
Yes.
Maybe we can have similar success with the Tampa Rays.
Tampa Rays, yeah, absolutely right.
You can't. Is it really a report that they sort of talked, told but them not that they, seriously talked?
Sources have told them that they have not yet engaged in serious discussions.
That's a tough one to refute.
It is. It is.
No. Our talks have been quite serious. Thank you very much.
Yes. They're just
they're
silly.
Not say that.
As Zach says, they're just silly talks. They haven't had serious talks. It's more silly. yeah, man. So there's going to be a lot of that coming out. You know, I would say avoid the noise, but I kind of like the noise. I like those tweets. I like to try to start putting the puzzle together.
You can't completely avoid the noise because some of the noise ends up being true. There's always a certain percentage of these rumors that do end up panning out. It's just that usually like 80% of them don't. So you also have to take it all with a big grain of salt. But if you just ignored everything, you'd also miss out on the real kind of trends and you know, scoops that are coming out here before the trade deadline.
I feel like there's going to be a ton of activity, which if this year proves anything, that means there'll be three moves total for all teams. But I just feel that there's so many teams that think they're in it. There's so many owners that are under the pressure from their fan base, like Pittsburgh, like Baltimore. You know, I think Philly's going to be really active, dude. They've gotten so close. I just feel like there's going to be so many buyers right now.
Honestly, I don't know if this is the right decision or not, but I don't have a lot of trade deadline talk scheduled for the roundtable.
Fine by me.
At 10 o'clock. I feel like we've had those discussions over the past month.
Yeah.
What we all know at this point, kind of what the Padres need, who the options are potentially out there, what the costs could potentially be, and how we feel about it. I don't think anything's really changed in the last week or two.
Yeah, I need money in the chat says, how do we add to the rotation and bullpen, not trade our top two prospects, and stay under the luxury tax? It's the most unenviable job. Morning, AJ. Good luck. I mean, it's a really unenviable position. But again,
we would like to have our cake.
We want to eat it
too.
Yeah, yeah, and then have more of it. We need several pieces of cake to eat. But I think.
But then we also need to have cake left over afterwards as well.
Yeah.
After we've eaten it, we want it to still be sitting there.
Still have a bunch left. Yeah, that's the tough part. And look, again, you can't let AJ Preller off the hook in that. In that this is a. This is the corner that he's kind of painted himself into by going out, which we love, Luis Arraez, we love Dylan Cease, but you've now, we wouldn't be 50-49 without them. So I shudder to think where we would be without Arraez and Cease in particular. But this is the this is the job. He's painted himself into this, and he's got to figure his way out.
Well, speaking of eating, I believe we have the newest ballpark food extravaganza coming your way.
They did it again.
As part of this edition of the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
How you feeling, guys?
Good. Really good.
Nice and refreshed from that hypnotherapy this morning?
Yes. Feel great.
Woods.
Sleep.
Doesn't work.
No. All right.
You don't know what you're doing.
I'm out of hypnosis.
I guess not. All right. Just checking.
What does that red door make you feel?
That's maroon, yeah. And I hate maroon. It's probably my least favorite color.
Right, we'll,
maroon.
We'll work on
really?
That.
I can't stand it.
Really?
Yeah.
Maroon.
Loathe it. Loathe it.
Like USC colors? Like that part of it?
I've never liked it. I've always thought it was not great.
Now, you're not a big fan of the band Maroon 5 either.
You know that. You know that.
I don't mind spending every day.
Are they moves like Jagger?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for it. None.
There's no reason for
that band.
They've made a lot of money and been very successful.
It's true.
They would say there's probably a reason for that song.
I don't get it, man. I do not get it.
We talked about it briefly a couple weeks ago. Watched that Nickelback documentary. Why did they get so much hate?
Yeah, Maroon 5 just skating by.
We just put Maroon 5 on a pedestal.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's see how many things can make Adam Levine do.
Yeah, flip it. That should be flipped. Flipped.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, look, slow week in sports. Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Slowest days of the entire year, I think, on the sports calendar.
But
we got a couple stories here. So yesterday, now, Ben, did you say this is the last WNBA game for the next few weeks?
Yeah, so they have the All-Star break followed by the Olympic break. So I don't think there's another real game for almost like a month.
The All-Star break already?
WNBA season's not that long.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, the draft was like a month ago.
Yeah, it was.
Caitlin Clark was playing for Iowa 6 weeks ago.
It's like an adult ball season, pretty much.
So yesterday in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark made history once again for women's basketball. She had 19 assists in their loss to Dallas. They lost to the Wings 101-93, but she had 19 assists for Indiana, and that is a WNBA record.
What are your guys' honest, genuine thoughts on the assist? Is it like, you know how people argue against RBI all the time in baseball? They argue against it. I don't. Hitting with runners in scoring position, driving in runs, is hard. It's hard to do. But things have to go your way. Like, is Alec Bohm truly a great RBI man? Or he obviously can't do it without the guys in front of him.
This is a good question.
If I pass it to the best player on my team who makes everything, credit?
Not all assists are created equal. You're absolutely right. There's nothing prettier than the guy who drives the lane, does the no-look behind his back
100%.
Feed to a guy who then dunks it.
They collapse on him, he throws it behind
his back.
That's
an incredible assist.
So good. But if I dribble up, Paulie's underneath, and I go, Paulie's got a foot advantage. I throw him the ball. He turns around and drops one in.
Or the point guard brings the ball up court and sees Steph Curry wide open. Simple pass. Three ball. That's an assist.
Or even worse, you've got like three on the shot clock and you wildly just throw it to someone because you don't want to take the shot and then they wildly throw it up and make it. You just got an assist for that when your teammate calls it a time bomb.
I think assists are important to count. I mean, look, I play a lot of basketball at the recreational level.
Stoked when you get a good assist?
Sometimes. Right. And there's just times where you're like, look, I just don't have it offensively right now. So it's another form of an assist. I'm going to be setting off-ball screens, or I'm going to be moving without the ball.
And you don't
going to lock my guy down defensively because I can't score a lick right
now. You don't get that credit for that.
You don't get those in the stat book.
Taking the extra base on a bobble, things like that.
Yeah.
I think the Caitlin Clark haters, and you know that they're out there, they're very conflicted because they're going, yeah, well, they lost again, so what? She said an individual record. Doesn't matter if your team doesn't have any success. Very selfish of her. But it's an assist record. It's a record passing to other teammates, being unselfish.
I bet you there are players, though, where the coach is like, hey,
stone passes.
I don't want you dishing as much as you're dishing. I need you shooting.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I've all, you know, triple double. It's awesome. Rebounds are hard.
Luka's like that. Like he throws a lot of passes that could be more assists, and his teammates don't make the shot. It's like, why don't you just go ahead and take it yourself?
By the way, this is not
take the hard fade away yourself, Luka. Don't give it to your open teammate.
This is not an indictment on Caitlin. I've always had this thought about the assist of like, oh, all right, it's a stat in which you don't have a lot of control. Like, I passed the ball.
The second guy can get you get two assists.
Yeah, it's lacrosse, too.
You can pass it to someone else who then makes the really good pass to someone for the assist.
Same with like, lacrosse, yeah.
I really didn't do anything at all, but I got credit for an assist.
Yep.
People in the chat are talking about, what about Angel Reese's rebounds? Have you seen this going around? She had a streak of double-doubles, but somebody posted, I saw it yesterday, a screenshot of the play-by-play of their game, and it was like Angel Reese missed layup, Angel Reese offensive rebound, Angel Reese missed layup, Angel Reese offensive rebound, Angel Reese missed layup, offensive rebound. She just had a huge size advantage.
Yeah.
It was just like
getting
all these offensive, it counts.
An
offensive rebound.
And in some sense, even on defense, the offensive team clears out because they know they can't get it, so
right.
They don't even contest it sometimes on the rebound. It gives her a lot of easy rebounds.
I do feel like.
But she has to be Angel Reese for that to happen.
This is
she gets credit for that,
this
too.
This is the incredible boomer. I do feel like rebounds in the 80s were a lot tougher to come by than rebounds today. I really do.
Not all rebounds are created equally.
And you're absolutely right, but I do. The incredible boomer does
shoot the ball from farther away. It's going to be longer, easier rebounds.
That's true.
Yeah, it's all part of it. But anyways, let's get to the big story here. The Kansas City Royals.
They did it again.
They've done it again. I saw the post from John Boy Media that says the Royals have unveiled the mother of all ballpark foods.
You seen it yet, Ben?
Throw it up here.
I just saw it about 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's called the Taste of the K Taco.
Oh, my God.
And I don't even know where to begin, but it is looks like a hot dog. Now, I can't tell if the hot dog's cut up.
John Boy's got the description.
But it looks like the hot dog is cut up. But it is a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla, which, again, a lot of questions already. What is a cheeseburger quesadilla? Topped with barbecue brisket, French fries, lettuce, pickled onions, Sriracha Cracker Jacks, which I didn't know existed, and barbecue sauce.
This thing looks... No, now remember...
I don't know why the lettuce is in there. That seems completely superfluous at this point.
It's healthy now.
Yeah.
It's a salad.
Lettuce.
It's basically a salad.
Yeah, it's healthy.
Really?
The thing looks... now, again, we did this whole story on the Reese's... brisket burger.
Right, about, a little 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I went.
There's the one that you had.
And I tried it.
Yep.
Let me see that bad boy again.
It was cut up Reese's peanut butter cups inside
of pulled pork
barbecue sandwich.
With bacon bits, which made it, by the way, and barbecue sauce. And I was like, you'd have to be insane to eat it. I bought one.
I'm sure the heat melts, though, that Reese's perfectly.
It was beyond spectacular.
God,
it was beyond spectacular. It was one of the best things I've ever eaten. Now, this one looks a little bit different. The one thing I think I would bang on this is the hot dog. I would get rid of the hot dog.
Everything, not the Cracker Jacks.
No, the Cracker Jacks would be, they're Sriracha Cracker Jacks. So you got
crunchy. Are they also sweet, though? They're like the caramel, and then they just add some Sriracha to it for a little sweet heat. I like sweet heat.
I think it looks, I think it looks, take that, there's that one wiener sticking out of it right there, and I get that wiener out of there. And just give me the...
I think I could... I don't mind wrapping things in a quesadilla. I don't know that I need cheeseburger inside the quesadilla
so it looks
as
like,
well.
Yeah, like tortilla, meat and cheese tortilla.
Yep. And then not taco shell. And then...
It's more of a molita with like two tortillas and then sandwiched together than a quesadilla, I think.
My absolute kryptonite in San Diego. My favorite dish in San Diego that I've ever eaten. It's my favorite burrito from Trujillo's by San Diego State, right on campus.
Wrapped in a quesadilla.
It's the Sigma Pie is a California burrito wrapped in a cheese quesadilla. So it's like tortilla, melted cheese, burrito, and it is, I had it once, like the first weekend of my freshman year in 2009, and it's been my go-to on their menu
Mulita.
For, what, 15 years now? Like, it's unreal.
I like the at Taco Bell, when I'm in the mood once a year, when I eat my once-a-year Taco Bell, I like that double-decker, the soft tortilla with the beans, then the hard shell, then the meat, that softness into the crunchiness, I love. So I think I would,
I have to say that I have seen the quesadilla wrapped around the California burrito before. And as much as I'd like to, it's a line that personally I won't cross.
You won't do it.
I just feel like once I go to the quesadilla wrapped burrito, that's pretty much the end. And as long as I stay away from that,
about once a year,
I can have a burrito. I can do it every once in a while. But once you go to the burrito wrapped in a quesadilla, you've done something kind of evil.
Yeah,
that,
you feel
that
like
you can never come back
from.
You
feel like you just went to a massage parlor.
Oh, I want it.
Oh, you want to go to a massage
parlor?
No,
I want the quesadilla wrapped burrito. I really do, but I feel like...
What if
I love it so much that I can't go back to a regular burrito after that?
That's the shame.
And then it's like, oh no. I've tasted Nirvana, and then I can never go back, because you can't just make a quesadilla wrapped burrito your regular order. I mean,
that was my favorite.
I wouldn't make it 6 months.
They had a burrito with a taquito, like pretty much jammed right into the middle of the burrito.
I've done that. I can stay away from that one.
That's spectacular.
It's good, but it gets a little bready inside with the double wrapped tortillas.
This thing looks really good, honestly, except for the hot dog. The hot dog would be the thing that threw me off. I don't think it belongs with the rest of it.
It's not really ballpark food without the hot dog in there.
Sure it is. Yeah, sure it is.
One more time. The Taste of K Taco is a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla topped with brisket.
Hot dog. Essentially, this item is a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Everything else is just dressing for the hot dog. It's a hot dog.
Take that thing.
Wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla, topped with barbecue brisket, french fries, lettuce, pickled red onions. Nice little tanginess. Sriracha Cracker Jacks and 816 sauce, which is a barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks pretty good.
What would 619 sauce be? Sriracha Cracker Jacks, or are those like made in the ballpark?
Maybe it's made. I've never heard of them.
Specifically for that.
Just, what would 619 sauce be?
If they have 816 sauce and it's barbecue sauce, what would 619 sauce be?
Some sort of blending of
a chipotle salsa of some
salsa,
sort.
Some blending.
Avocados.
Do you ever mix your salsa? Yeah. Do you ever mix the green and the red and the
no.
No, I have. It's good. Try it.
I mean, I'll have a burrito and some bites I'll do red and some bites I'll do green. But I'll never do both at the same time.
Double dip it. Spectacular.
I feel like you're melding flavors that weren't meant to be melded.
That's why I, you know,
or the other.
They always say I have the palate of a 6-year-old. I think it's you.
If you
have to be
have
more adventurous.
If you want
to
have half the burrito with green and half with red, I love that.
Put them together.
But not at the same time.
Put them together. Try it next time.
That seems a little deviant.
It is very deviant. God
created red and green salsa for a reason. They're totally different flavors. And you want to add the tangy tomatillo-ness of the green? Great. You want to add the fiery red chilliness of the red?
What's the other one?
The habanero orange?
Delicious.
That is also good.
Delicious. Put it all, mix it all in one. Try it.
So I'm getting Mexican food after the show.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. After my round table pizza, of course.
Which we're going to wrap in a quesadilla for you
yes,
today.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Some brisket.
Stuffed in a full roasted chicken after.
A turducken.
Red versus green sauce discussion is like Bloods and Crips. It's not. It's, you can put it all together. It's delicious.
All at the same time.
I'm a mixer, yeah.
So you'd be both a Blood and a Crip.
Yeah.
I don't think they allow that.
I'm a Brip. A crud.
Hey, guys, I'm going to hang out with the... Hey, Crips, I'm actually hanging out with the Bloods today.
Yeah, I'm every man. All right? Mix it together.
Oh, all right. Good job on the Rondle Report. We will come back. We've got some throwback Thursday material for you, some summer break throwback material from our first half look back as well. We'll get to all of it coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
I'm starving. Starving now.
Welcome back to Salsa and Salsa, Salsa Talk.
Oh, you were so close.
Salsa and Salsa Talk.
So close.
Welcome back to Sauce and Salsa Talk. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
There's some mixers in the chat.
Well, I get a lot of it. All comes out in the same place in the end.
Yeah, it does.
I just feel like the flavors are very distinct on the red and green. And I do like them both. But I agreed with one of our listeners who said, yeah, green's better for like carnitas is good with green salsa. If you're going to carne asada, I think red tends to work a little bit better with that. Everyone has their own personal preferences. Yeah. I just feel like maybe, I don't know, I just feel like it's a totally different sauce if you mix them together.
Which is the point. It's totally different.
I guess I'll have to try it.
Yeah, try it. I think you'll like it.
What color does it turn into? I know yellow and blue make green, but what do green and red make?
I just pour like I do like a little dollop, and then I take another dollop. I don't actually put them together and mix them with a spoon or anything. I just a little of this, a little of that, boom.
I have to be very careful when I'm eating the burrito that when you put the sauce on, you kind of bite all the way across to make sure you're
correct.
Falling off all over
your
shirt and stuff.
Well, the that made
but too much sauce on, it's a problem.
That made me super hungry, but the guy that made me the hungriest is our pal Adio B. Royster from Philly, who is in for his yearly visit, formerly lived in San Diego and worked in the radio business, always comes in to hang out. Welcome back.
My yearly vacation.
Your yearly vacation to America's finest. Now, he's a Philly guy, but he's a Padres fan. But he was just, I asked him the straight dope on cheesesteaks in Philly. I said, do you like cheesesteaks? He goes, oh, yeah, of course. And I said, what's the best? And then you told me, don't go to the two famous places.
Yes. Pat and Gino's.
Never go to Pat and Gino's. Pat and Gino's are for tourists.
Okay. Okay.
You go to Jim Steaks, preferably on South Street, because they just did the big remodel. But if you want your mind blown,
I do.
You go to DeLisandro's Cheesesteaks. It's right in the Italian market. Three words, guys. Garlic bread cheesesteak.
The thought of it.
Good God.
The thought of it makes my, I'm like.
That's the cheesesteak version of a quesadilla wrap burrito right there.
How did you gain all the weight?
Yeah, I
would take garlic bread and you put the cheesesteak inside.
So here's the thing, though. Garlic bread, sometimes you get it from the Italian restaurant, you dip it, it's kind of soft, it's like, what's the word? Like, not flaky, but like...
super buttery.
It's too buttery sometimes, and it's like flaky.
I don't think that phrase should exist. Too buttery?
Yeah, it's too buttery.
Too buttery.
It can be too buttery.
I don't think so.
It can be, but that place has been around long enough to where like they get the consistency down each time.
But this is not like garlic bread, like Texas toast garlic bread.
It's not like that, but they do have, it's like a baguette, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then they just put just garlic bread ingredients on it.
Oh, my God.
Toasted in
butter,
the oven.
Butter, garlic, just,
yeah.
Sometimes a little cheese, and then add the cheesesteak in between.
Do you, in Philly, they do cheese whiz on.
Wit whiz.
Wit whiz. Yeah, wit whiz or without whiz. Do you put anything else on it? You just go meat, cheese, bread, right?
It's just meat, cheese, bread. I've
peppers
seen people,
and onions is part of the
onions,
mix. Usually.
Onions, yes. Yeah. I've seen people put lettuce and tomatoes on cheesesteaks, which is just ungodly. Why,
yeah.
Why are you doing that to a perfectly
I've
good
seen
food?
People put mayo on them, which I can get down with because I like mayo.
No.
Absolutely not.
I can do it.
Absolutely not. No.
And there's no, you don't dip it in anything.
No.
You don't need to.
Although a French dip cheesesteak is probably a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Like an au jus. Would be good. Michelle in chat says DeLisandro's is fire.
Oh, my God. I got to get.
See? Yeah.
Ben and Woods trip, man. Next year, Philly. I want to see the ballpark. I want to.
Schedule should come out like in the next month.
I want to see the crazy fans. It's so far, the flight. The flight is so far.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, this week, Cooperstown. That's actually New York, but
yes, it's not even
upstate.
Close.
Yeah, upstate New York.
Yeah, East Coast.
I forgot about the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies this weekend.
Speaking of Philadelphia, Cooperstown, not
Philadelphia,
anywhere near it.
The White House.
You know, I do mess them up in my head because I've been to Little League World Series,
which is Williamsport.
They're actually kind of similar sort of towns in the, you know, the back upstate areas of the state. But anyway, I had totally forgotten. Did you remember that this weekend's the Hall of Fame induction?
No.
Do you remember who is going in to the Hall of Fame this weekend?
0%.
So this weekend, they're going to have Sunday as the official induction ceremony. And the class is Adrian Beltre.
Love it.
Todd Helton, Joe Mauer, and then Jim Leland, the former skipper.
Good class.
Good class. Really good class.
Going in this weekend.
I have nothing
bad to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I remember when they were doing, because remember, it was back in January when they announced, and there was some talk about Joe Mauer, who didn't have the length of his career. Yeah, the girth
was
but not
there,
the necessarily
not the
length of his career, yeah. But as good of catching seasons as anyone has really ever had.
Just, he was awesome.
Just didn't put up the 20-year numbers that some guys do to get to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, Todd Helton, we got to see in his numbers, you know, some people said inflated by Coors Field, but he was really good everywhere.
He was good. Still got to hit the ball.
And Adrian Beltre was one of those guys who, when you put his career all together, unbelievably spectacular career. You never thought,
like, sneaky quiet.
Yeah, because you never thought of Adrian Beltre. I mean, he was an all-star, but you never thought, oh, he's the best player in baseball.
He was staggering.
But you never thought that about Adrian Beltre at any moment. You always fit. He's probably one of the best players, two or three players on that team we're playing right now. But you never went, ooh, Adrian Beltre is coming to town. We're going to get to see the best player in baseball this week.
Man, one of our beloved Manny Machado's favorite third baseman of all time as well. He is Beltre. I was in Texas for some of his run. And yeah, he's beloved. Beloved by the players. Oh, my God. Like, one of the best teammates and guys of all time. So I'm excited to see these dudes in. He was, for me, he was like, he reminds me of? He reminds me of Profar. Intense, super intense, but he had a good smile and was a Really, had a lot of fun playing the game of baseball, which I always admired. So, going to be really, really cool to see that this weekend.
What was Leland, his quirky thing? Don't touch him in the head.
Can't touch his head.
Just later after the show, Ben, go on YouTube and type in Adrian Beltre, Elvis Andrews.
Yeah,
there's like 10-minute long videos bit. Of the those two guys. Like, no teammates have ever loved each other more than those two in particular.
For sure.
And they would mess with each other. Like, there'd be a high pop fly to short, and Beltre would move about 5 feet to Andrews' right
and pretend
he was going to catch it and try to throw him off.
It made me nervous every time he did. I'm like, stop, dude, you're going to kill me.
They'd have a pitcher's meeting on the mound, you know, making a pitching change, and all the guys, the whole infield would be in there, and Elvis Andrews would come up and just try to grab Beltre's head, and he'd throw
it's
his
like
glove
kind of
at
me
him.
Touching you.
Yeah.
Like, you hate to be touched, and I like to give you hugs.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
In
very
fact,
much like that.
I would say watch that before the induction, Hall of Fame ceremony this weekend, because I guarantee you Elvis Andrews will be a part of Adrian Beltre's speech.
His traveling party or something.
Yeah. I just looked up a story, and this quote
introducing
from
him.
Joey Gallo's. Stands out. He says, Adrian Beltre is never actually really mad at anyone. He's fake mad a lot.
I love that. Fake mad. I love it. It's greatness.
All right. We have one segment left, and then, of course, a roundtable. We're going to throw it back on a Thursday. A little Grand Slam talk, if you remember something that Paulie's pulled from the archive. So we'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Final segment of Ben and Woods on a Thursday, but not the last. You'll hear from us today.
We'll still be here.
The rest of the gang is on their way in and gathering in our soundstage, where we'll do the roundtable coming up from 10 to 11 o'clock this morning, minus, of course, Tony Gwynn Jr., or is he going to be here? They're flying out, I would assume, to Cleveland today. You don't wait until the last minute. Potters have a game tomorrow, so my guess is that there's some travel going on with the San Diego Padres today.
I don't know what their schedule is. I'm assuming, when we talk to Mike Schilt tomorrow, he will be in Cleveland as they have a game tomorrow night. So my guess is
they have to get there today.
They are on.
I don't know what time they leave. Do they leave in the morning? Do they leave in the afternoon?
I think any chance you take to get to Cleveland as early as possible, you take it. You know, to take in the sights, go down to the flats. Flats are actually a really fun part of Cleveland. Cleveland's not that bad.
And they've been there once.
They have a
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's phenomenal. So much fun. So much fun.
It's a really cool looking building.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Have you actually been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
We used to go from Chicago. It was weird. You'd leave Chicago for a weekend, which it was a little intense. Go to Cleveland, go down to the flats, hang out, and then, which is like a bar area on the water. And then we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because I had to go, and it was awesome. I mean, you're like, oh, that's Keith Moon's drums. Like, it's just, if you like Halls of Fames, then that's one for you. Well, it's one for me.
And he's just Halls of Fame.
Yeah. Halls of Fames.
Like
many
holes
fames.
In one.
Holes in one. Holes
halls
in one.
Halls of Fame.
Halls of Fame. It's a good one. It's a really good one. They do a good job. This is 25 years ago, so I'm sure now they're like, you can actually be Jimmy Page. Like, where is guitar? I have no idea what it's like now, but it was great then.
It's a ballpark I wouldn't mind seeing. Progressive Field,
yep.
Formerly
Jacobs Field.
The Jake. Was definitely one of the first of the retro-type ballparks that really revolutionized baseball. Had, of course, an influence on Petco Park. Petco Park, I think, straddles the line between the old and the new really, really well.
Yeah.
It's not a full old-timey ballpark. It's very modern and new, but it's also got some of that older look, especially with the Western Metal Supply Company and such.
America's best ballpark.
They do it really well.
But you
wouldn't have that without Camden Yards and Jacobs Field were two of the first that changed things from cookie cutter round stadiums to the new style that we have come to enjoy now.
I would trade Petco Park's look and ambiance for the record of the Cleveland Guardians right now, though. 19 games over 500. It's staggering. What a great job Stephen Vogt has done and the team. And Jose Ramirez, like, it's one of those guys where, like, we're playing them, and I hope he goes 0-for-12 this weekend. But a guy that every time I watch play, I'm like, he's absolutely elite. And I love everything about him. And they got a couple guys on that team I really enjoy watching play. Stephen Kwan's another one. It's going to be a tough series.
All right, we'll talk about it more tomorrow. And again, Mike Schilt will join us at 9 o'clock in the manager's report. Right now, though, a little check of traffic, and then we get some throwback Thursday fun for you on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Polly, what have you pulled from the archives for us today?
Let's see. We are going back to April. Early April, the beginning of the Padres season.
And this is earlier this year. We're doing
the first half
review of Throwback Thursday.
It's kind of a Throwback Thursday, but we've been doing the first half Ben and Woods look backs, fun moments in Ben and Woods history for this year. And let me pull up the call. We had a grand slam from Jurickson and Profar earlier in the year. I believe it was April 7th. And, of course, when we have a big moment, we like to go and pull all the calls, right? And it's Don, it's Jesse, maybe you get the opposing team, we'll get Eddie Ortega, and, of course, we get our friends from the Korean broadcast. And so we played Profar's Grand Slam. I'll play it back for you here. This was April 6th against the Giants.
주릭슨 프로파 6번 타자. 초구를 당겼습니다. 오른쪽 높게 그리고 멀리 퍼퍼. 야!
넘어갔어요.
주릭슨 프로파의 그랜드 슬램이 터집니다. 스코어 4대0.
야, 프로파도 시즌 한 두 자리 정도는 칠 수는 있거든요.
네.
한방 보여줬어요.
Incredible.
I don't know if those are the same guys that we heard later in the season, though.
I don't either.
I'm not even sure.
They're all elite.
Yeah.
Every call from the Korean folk are just phenomenal.
So I believe that was on a weekend, and because we came in a couple of days later, and, well, did this segment.
And so I'm wondering, do they have a boss that's like, hey, he's making the call.
Or is their boss just like, hey, do whatever you guys want.
Do whatever you guys want. Because, like, all right, Ben, do some play-by-play for this home run, and I'll be his partner. Paul, you make the noises in the background. Hold on one second.
Ready?
Because they just talk over each other the whole time. It's so good.
All right, here we go. Bases loaded. Here's the pitch to Profar. Swung on and driven deep and high down the right field line. Oh! Is it going to stay fair?
On your way into work, and you want to keep listening to us, even after you park the car,
it's an
Odyssey app and Odyssey.com.
For Jurickson, Profar,
you can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search 97.3 The Fan and click on our show. Download the Odyssey app today to get started
in this game. They take the lead over the Giants.
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the 97.3 The Fan Roundtable. We'll drive you nuts. I love it.
Everybody just talking over each other.
If I was their boss, I'd be like, fellas, you got to come in here for a minute and have a little conversation. Can we do hand signals, some sort of cue? Because when it happens, they just start going, both of them. One kind of off mic, one calling the action, and it is, I mean, I love it because it's like, it's train wreck radio, but it's, for radio purposes, it's probably not the best.
Do you remember when we first started the show and we're trying to figure out like what each hand signal would mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
We actually like talked about it, like, all right, I do this or I do that, you know, and if we're, you know, it, now I don't. We never even think about it.
I thought you were going to talk about. So in the when you were doing the play by play there before I started screaming and before Woods jumped in and started reading Odyssey liners, I could hear you. You had a callback to one of our earlier moments as a show. You said, "Take your trot, Jurickson
Profar." Yeah, take your trot.
And that was when we tried to all do our own
home run calls.
What would our home run calls be? Our signature catchphrase. And yours was, take your trot, Franchy Cordero.
That's right. Back in those, I'll never forget the first like week on the air, on the very first show I was on, the first time I got the hand to my face. And then one hand to your face was, I was like, oh. Then you would get the two hands out. And it was like, I'll just sit back. And I didn't realize that that's how you have to do it sometimes.
Well, yeah, you've been hosting by yourself for a while, a lot of things. You don't need to worry about any other people talking.
No, not our show. The very first show I was on, and I didn't know anything about this business. And the first time I got the, hand up the Heisman, and I felt like an idiot, you know. And then the two would come out. When the two came out, it was like, go ahead, you know. And I took it personally. But then you realize it's actually better. You need, like, let me get through this.
Do I not do it enough?
I don't think any of us do it enough.
I also don't want you to feel bad if I'm like, I'm not trying to cut you off, Woods. I don't feel like your contributions are less valuable.
No,
you need to stop talking so I can start talking. That's not what's going on.
No, but after a while, you know, the chemistry starts to kick in and I can look at your face and go, he's ready or I'm ready. You know, whatever. So you have to do that. We do that with interviews a lot. Hey, I got one little follow-up. I'll give you the little pinch, you know, like the hang one.
Reset
sec.
The name of this guest.
Reset
is
the
a little
name,
finger.
Wrap
or
it up.
Wrap it up is wrap a bigger up. A bigger finger a, swing.
You guys remember when Ben got chewed
oh, yeah.
out?
At our old
chewed
station.
Chewed out.
I tried to give...
Because
our old executive producer, a hand signal,
oh,
and
dude,
he was
we had a
livid
hand,
about it.
We did a hand signal. We'd go like this to each other quietly off the air that said, hey, reset.
Well, tell everybody what you're doing. You're like rolling your hands over each other, like
yes,
traveling.
Like, hey, traveling, whatever. And it was that was reset the subject.
Yeah, reset.
Hey, we're talking to, you know, whoever the hell we talked
it was,
to.
It's been a while.
We Natron have
new,
means.
Yeah, new listeners are popping in. They hear a voice that's unfamiliar. Part of Radio Mechanics is you should probably, you know, two
doesn't
times
even
during
have
the
to
interview.
Be with an interview. It could just be like, anyways, we're talking about the Padres, you know, top 10 draft picks
right.
or whatever. And our old boss was oh. talking and he saw Ben give that hand signal to Woods
yeah.
saying, hey, when you come back,
reset.
When he's done talking, reset what we're discussing
oh,
here for the audience.
You got your ass chewed.
He thought he was telling him to hey,
wrap it up,
idiot. And after the show, he left, first of all. He did not come back to the show that morning.
Yeah.
He just went in his office and did not talk to us the rest of the day. And then we had one of our daily show meetings that we had to do in the boss's office every single day after our show. And he ripped into Ben, the likes of which you have never seen.
It's almost certainly the maddest a boss has ever been at me in
yeah.
my life.
100%.
And it was the most, we're like... Oh, you don't... No.
Oh, no.
I'm
yeah.
not trying to tell you, like, you don't get it,
we're
but you don't
reset,
get it.
It's called reset, bro.
You're misinformed. It was not directed at you at all. It was actually talking to Woods.
The trauma that I've endured, we've endured in this job is staggering. When I think... I don't let myself think about it very much because I never had a panic attack in my life till I started working in radio. And
it was a jarring moment for me.
Jarring.
I'm used to usually just getting praise from bosses. Like, good job, Ben. Good work, Ben. It's just pretty much how it's always gone. So to really be,
you're unreal.
Like, have an angry man
he
chewing me
was
out
so
about
mad
work.
At you.
Oh, he was so
and
mad,
when I explained what he thought I was doing, I could see, okay, that would be very rude if I had just done that in the middle of what he was saying.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, you idiot, wrap it up. We don't want to hear anything you want to say. Come on, just wrap it up. If that's what he thought, I can understand why he took offense to it, even though that wasn't my intention at all.
Yeah, you're going to want to get clarification on something first before you go chewing somebody out like that. I had blocked that from my memory.
And I think to his credit, after we explained it, he did kind of cool off. And
well, what's the alternative? You can't still be mad.
Have you
that.
Met people before?
I've
like,
met
once
people.
You're mad, they just stay mad, no matter what, for the rest of their lives.
No, some people have a problem admitting, I might have been wrong there.
Correct. Yeah, 100%. Oh, my God, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, the hand signals. We don't really have to do them during the roundtable because you go to people.
Not much. Sometimes right at the end, if I know, because we have the hard out, 1 hour of commercial-free radio, and I'll have to, like, you know, all right, we got keep it short sort of thing, and I'll give a look at least, or I'll even say out loud, hey, do you have 30 seconds for this last answer, just because I know we're approaching the end of the hour.
And we are approaching the end of this hour.
We are.
Only to go and do another hour right now.
But I don't know. Stay tuned. Keep the local listings for when the next roundtables are going to be, because the schedule gets weird. There's a morning game next Thursday.
Shut up. Shut
and
up.
Then we talked about a special roundtable for
up.
The trade
shut
deadline
up.
While
shut
while you're
up.
Gone.
Shut up.
So
you don't think he would move it to a Wednesday?
Ooh.
Or
ooh.
A
we're off early next week.
Friday.
That's what I'm saying. Next
you
Thursday.
Don't think he'll move it? It's not like it's set in stone.
No,
I'm about to chew your ass out after this.
What
show
do you think?
Right,
he does, he's not going to notice. Like, oh,
that's our hope. But you certainly wouldn't bring him. Attention to it.
They play at 9:05 next Thursday.
He's the guy.
He's
going
to make him do a roundtable at like 2 o'clock.
Next Thursday, we'll already be in like the third or fourth inning. At this point.
He's the kind of guy that's like, hey, you forgot to give out homework,
yeah,
teacher. He's going to text Adam, hey, I just noticed the schedule is pretty light. Should we move it to a Tuesday or Wednesday? Which you know he's going to do.
No, I can't move it to a Tuesday. I'm busy that day.
I am slammed.
I'm washing my hair.
I am slammed that day. All right, I'll see you in a minute.
We've got something fun tomorrow morning. Ooh. Woods has got planned. It is also someone's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, boy.
And we got some surprises for Woodsy. So that is coming up tomorrow with Ben and Woods. Thanks to Paulie, as always. We'll talk to you on the roundtable coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Talk to you in a minute. Final segment of Ben and Woods on a Thursday, but not the last you'll hear from us today.
We'll still be here.
The rest of the gang is on their way in and gathering in our soundstage, where we'll do the roundtable coming up from 10 to 11 o'clock this morning, minus, of course, Tony Gwynn Jr., or is he going to be here? They're flying out, I would assume, to Cleveland today. You don't wait until the last minute. Potters have a game tomorrow, so my guess is that there's some travel going on with the San Diego Padres today.
I don't know what their schedule is. I'm assuming, when we talk to Mike Schilt tomorrow, he will be in Cleveland as they have a game tomorrow night. So my guess is
they have to get there today.
They are on.
I don't know what time they leave. Do they leave in the morning? Do they leave in the afternoon?
I think any chance you take to get to Cleveland as early as possible, you take it. You know, to take in the sights, go down to the flats. Flats are actually a really fun part of Cleveland. Cleveland's not that bad.
And they've been there once.
They have a
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's phenomenal. So much fun. So much fun.
It's a really cool-looking building.
Yeah. It's incredible.
You actually been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. We used to...
Tell me about it.
We used to go from Chicago. It was weird. You'd leave Chicago for a weekend, which it was a little intense. Go to Cleveland, go down to the flats, hang out, and then, which is like a bar area on the water. And then we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because I had to go, and it was awesome. I mean, you're like, oh, that's Keith Moon's drums. Like, it's just, if you like Halls of Fames, then that's one for you. Well, it's one for me.
And he's just Halls of Fame.
Yeah. Halls of Fames.
Like
many
holes
fames.
In one.
Holes in one. Holes
halls
in ones.
Of, halls of fame.
Halls of fame. It's a good one. It's a really good one. They do a good job. This is 25 years ago. So I'm sure now, they're like, you can actually be Jimmy Page. Like, where is guitar? I have no idea what it's like now, but it was great then.
It's a ballpark I wouldn't mind seeing. Progressive Field, formerly Jacobs Field.
The Jake.
Was definitely one of the first of the retro-type ballparks that really revolutionized baseball. Had, of course, an influence on Petco Park. Petco Park, I think, straddles the line between the old and the new really, really well.
Yeah.
It's not a full old-timey ballpark. It's very modern and new, but it's also got some of that older look, especially with the Western Metal Supply Company and such.
America's best ballpark.
They do it really well.
They
wouldn't have that without Camden Yards and Jacobs Field were two of the first that changed things from cookie cutter round stadiums to the new style that we have come to enjoy now.
I would trade Petco Park's look and ambiance for the record of the Cleveland Guardians right now, though. 19 games over 500. It's staggering. What a great job. Stephen Vogt has done and the team and Jose Ramirez, like it's one of those guys where like we're playing them and I hope he goes 0-for-12 this weekend, but a guy that every time I watch play, I'm like, he's absolutely elite and I love everything about him. And they got a couple guys on that team I really enjoy watching play. Stephen Kwan's another one. It's going to be a tough series.
All right, we'll talk about it more tomorrow. And again, Mike Schilt will join us at 9 o'clock in the manager's report. Right now, though, a little check of traffic, and then we get some throwback Thursday fun for you on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Paulie, what have you pulled from the archives for us today?
Let's see. We are going back to April. Early April, the beginning of the Padres season. And
this is earlier this year. We're doing a first half review of Throwback Thursday.
It's kind of a throwback Thursday, but we've been doing the first half Ben and Woods look backs, fun moments in Bennon Woods history for this year. And let me pull up the call. We had a grand slam from Jurickson and Profar earlier in the year. I believe it was April 7th. And, of course, when we have a big moment, we like to go and pull all the calls, right? And it's Don, it's Jesse, maybe you get the opposing team, we'll get Eddie Ortega, and, of course, we get our friends from the Korean broadcast. And so we played Profar's Grand Slam. I'll play it back for you here. This was April 6th against the Giants.
주릭슨 프로파 6번 타자. 초구를 당겼습니다. 오른쪽 높게 그리고 멀리 퍼퍼. 야!
넘어갔어요.
주릭슨 프로파의 그랜드 슬램이 터집니다. 스코어 4대0.
야, 프로파도 시즌 한 두 자리 정도는 칠 수는 있거든요.
네.
한방 보여줬어요.
Incredible.
I don't know if those are the same guys that we heard later in the season, though.
I don't either.
I'm not even sure.
They're all elite.
Yeah.
Every call from the Korean folk are just phenomenal.
So I believe that was on a weekend, and because we came in a couple of days later, and, well, did this segment.
And so I'm wondering, do they have a boss that's like, hey, he's making the call?
Or is their boss just like, hey, do whatever you guys want.
Do whatever you guys want. Because, like, all right, Ben, do some play-by-play for this home run, and I'll be his partner. Paul, you make the noises in the background. Hold on, one sec. One
you
sec.
Ready?
I'm gonna, yeah, because like they just talk over each other the whole time. It's so good.
All right, here we go. Bases loaded. Here's the pitch to Profar. Swung on and driven deep and high down the right field line. Oh! Is it going to stay fair?
On your way into work, and you want to keep listening to us, even after you park the car,
it's an
Odyssey app and odyssey.com.
For Jurickson, Profar
you can. Just download the app or visit odyssey.com. Search 97.3 The Fan and click on our show.
The bases.
Download the Odyssey
Padres
app today to get started.
Offense in this game.
Yeah.
They take the lead over the Giants.
Woo! Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the 97.3 The Fan Roundtable. It'll drive you nuts. I love it.
Everybody just talking over each other.
If I was their boss, I'd be like, fellas, you got to come in here for a minute and have a little conversation. Can we do hand signals, some sort of cue? Because when it happens, they just start going, both of them. One kind of off mic, one calling the action, and it is, I mean, I love it because it's like, it's train wreck radio, but it's, for radio purposes, it's probably not the best.
Do you remember when we first started the show and we're trying to figure out like what each hand signal would mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
We actually like talked about it, like, all right, I do this or I do that, you know, and we're, you know, now I don't. We never even think about it.
I thought you were going to talk about. So in the when you were doing the play-by-play there before I started screaming and before Woods jumped in and started reading Odyssey liners, I could hear you. You had a callback to one of our earlier moments as a show. You said, "Take your trot, Jurickson
Profar." Yeah, take
your trot. And that was when we tried to all do our own
home run calls.
What would our home run calls be? Our signature catchphrase. And yours was, take your trot, Franchy Cordero.
That's right. Back in those, I'll never forget the first like week on the air, on the very first show I was on, the first time I got the hand to my face. And then one hand to your face was, I was like, oh. Then you would get the two hands out. And it was like, I'll just sit back. And I didn't realize that that's how you have to do it sometimes.
Well, yeah, you've been hosting by yourself for a while, a lot of things. You don't need to worry about any other people talking.
No, not our show. The very first show
very
I
first
was on.
Show,
the
yeah.
very first show I was on, and I didn't know anything about this business. And the first time I got the hand up the Heisman, and I felt like an idiot, you know? And then the two would come out. When the two came out, it was like, go ahead, you know, and I took it personally. But then you realize it's actually better. You need, like, let me get through this.
Do I not do it enough?
I don't think any of us do it enough.
I also don't want you to feel bad if I'm like, I'm not trying to cut you off, Woods. I don't feel like your contributions are less valuable.
No,
you need to stop talking so I can start talking. That's not what's going on.
No, but after a while, you know, the chemistry starts to kick in, and I can look at your face and go, he's ready or I'm ready. you know, whatever. So you have to do that. We do that with interviews a lot. Hey, I got one little follow up. I'll give you the little pinch, you know, like the hang one.
Reset sec. The name of this guest.
Reset
is
the
a little
name,
finger.
Wrap
or
it up.
Wrap it up as a bigger up. A bigger
you
finger
guys,
swing.
You guys remember when Ben got chewed
oh, yeah.
out
at our old
chewed
station?
Chewed out.
I tried to give
because
our old executive producer a hand signal,
oh,
and
dude,
he was
we had a
livid
hand,
about it.
We did a hand signal. We'd go like this to each other quietly off the air that said, hey, reset.
Well, tell everybody what you're doing. You're like rolling your hands over each other, like
yes,
traveling.
Like, hey, traveling, whatever. And it was that was reset the subject.
Yeah, reset.
Hey, we're talking to, you know, whoever the hell we talked
it was,
to.
It's been a while.
We Natron have
new,
means.
Yeah, new listeners are popping in. They hear a voice that's unfamiliar. Part of radio mechanics is you should probably, you know, two
times
during the interview.
It doesn't even have to be with an interview. It could just be like, anyways, we're talking about the Padres, you know, top 10 draft picks
right.
or whatever. And our old boss was talking, and he saw Ben give that hand signal to Woods
yeah.
saying, hey, when you come back,
reset.
When he's done talking, reset what we're discussing here for the audience.
You got your ass chewed.
He thought he was telling him to wrap it up, idiot. And after the show, he left, first of all. He did not come back to the show that morning.
Yeah.
He just went in his office and did not talk to us the rest of the day. And then we had one of our daily show meetings that we had to do in the boss's office every single day after our show. And he ripped into Ben, the likes of which you have never seen.
It's almost certainly the maddest a boss has ever been at me in my life.
100%.
And it was the most, we're like, oh, you don't... No.
I'm
not trying to tell you, like, you don't get it,
but it's called reset, bro.
You're misinformed. It was not directed at you at all. It was actually talking to Woods.
The trauma that I've endured, we've endured in this job is staggering. When I think, I don't let myself think about it very much because I never had a panic attack in my life till I started working in radio. And it was a
jarring moment for me.
Jarring.
I'm used to usually just getting praise from bosses. Like, good job, Ben. Good work, Ben. It's just pretty much how it's always gone. So to really be like have an angry man chewing me out about
mad at you.
Oh, he was
and when I explained what he thought I was doing, I could see, okay, that would be very rude if I had just done that in the middle of what he was saying.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, you idiot, wrap it up. We don't want to hear anything you want to say. Come on, just wrap it up. If that's what he thought, I can understand why he took offense to it, even though that wasn't my intention at all.
Yeah, you're going to want to get clarification on something first before you go chewing somebody out like that. Guys, again... I had blocked that from my memory.
And I think to his credit, after we explained it, he did kind of cool off.
Well, what's the alternative? You can't still be mad.
Have you met people before?
Once
you're mad, they just stay mad, no matter what, for the rest of their lives.
No. Some people have a problem admitting, I might have been wrong there.
Correct. Yeah, 100%. Oh, my God, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, the hand signals. We don't really have to do them during the roundtable because you go to people.
Not much. Sometimes right at the end, if I know, because we have the hard out, 1 hour of commercial-free radio, and I'll have to, like, you know, all right, we got keep it short sort of thing, and I'll give a look at least, or I'll even say out loud, hey, do you have 30 seconds for this last answer, just because I know we're approaching the end of the hour.
And we are approaching the end of this hour.
We are.
Only to go and do another hour right now.
But I don't know. Stay tuned. Keep the local listings for when the next roundtables are going to be because the schedule gets weird. There's a morning game next Thursday.
Shut up. Shut
and
up.
Then we talked about a special roundtable for the trade deadline while you're gone.
Shut up. You don't think he would move it to a Wednesday?
We're off early next week.
Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't think he'll move it? It's not like it's set in stone.
No,
I'm about to chew your ass out after this.
What do you
show
think
right
he does? He's not going to notice? Like, oh,
that's our hope. But you certainly wouldn't bring attention to it.
They play at 9:05 next Thursday.
He's the guy.
He's
going
to make him do a roundtable at like 2:00
next Thursday. We'll already be in like the third or fourth inning.
He's the kind of guy that's like, hey, you forgot to give out homework, teacher. He's going to text Adam, hey, I just noticed the schedule is pretty light. Should we move it to a Tuesday or Wednesday? Which you know he's going to do.
No, I can't move it to Tuesday. I'm busy that day.
I am slammed.
Washing my hair.
I am slammed that day. All right, I'll see you in a minute.
We've got something fun tomorrow morning. Woods has got planned. It is also someone's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, oh boy.
And we got some surprises for Woodsy. So that is coming up tomorrow with Ben and Woods. Thanks to Paulie, as always. We'll talk to you on the roundtable coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Talk to you in a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.